morning, Lee.
Good morning, Tara.
Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, not bad.
Oh, good. Yeah, I did too.
Somewhat restful.
Oh, good. Yeah. No, my daughter and I hit the road. It is the beginning of volleyball tournament.
Oh, boy. And so
season.
It begins.
Yes. And so it begins. We had a great time. The girls played really well.
Good.
These are warm up tournaments for them, you know, going into the season.
Yeah.
But great to watch them play together. And you know what I love is, I mean, you know, they were up before dawn, you know, on the court ready for the tournament, you know, getting ready, all of this kind of stuff. And
yeah.
And this happens a lot. As I was, leaving at the end of the tournament, there's one of the girls on the team who was in tears. She had made a mistake. And I don't know her well enough to stop, but I've watched enough of these things to know everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
It's nobody's fault if you win or if you lose. It really isn't, because if the previous three mistakes hadn't been made by three other kids,
good point,
you would have never been in the position
exactly
where you needed the point.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of how you have to look at it in life and in games.
Like a kicker for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, like that guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, what a mess that was, right?
Well, yeah.
By the way, did you see this? Oh, where did you bring this up? Hold on. Oh, darn. Here it is. Okay. Everyday people went 0-101 in trying to make the 43-yard field goal that Cody, Parkey missed last week?
Yeah.
Cody Parkey challenge. That's it.
Well, and the thing is, I think he made three other field goals and was the major contributor to the total amount of points for the Bears. You know, if your offense is doing nothing but getting field goals, you've got some other problems. I felt sorry for the guy. It was just, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, especially when you hit the upright and the crossbar and it bounces out. You couldn't have done that if you had tried.
Exactly. So, you know, all those armchair kickers.
Oh, yeah.
I could have made that totally in the front yard. Let's go, Myrtle.
Yeah.
Hold the ball. Right, whatever. But anyway, the point of me bringing that up was it's great to see kids so highly motivated.
Yes, it is.
To succeed and to work hard for what they want and upset when they, you know, don't get it, which is the story of life. But
well,
at 10, you don't know that
and
yet.
And it means that you care and it means that it means something to you. And I realize that sports are not the end all be all.
No, they're not.
But it's an important part of life, because you need to understand that, yes, there are times you win. Yes, there are times you lose. Yes, there are times when you do the very best you possibly can and you still lose.
Yep. Absolutely. So that little girl was learning that lesson. But I was just impressed. Like, wow, a kid cares that much. You know, that's a great attitude to take into everything that you do in life, that you want to do your best. So, good weekend had by all. Half the reason I do it is it forces my daughter and I to spend long hours together in the car and in between games and no interruptions.
Yeah.
And it's even better where we played this weekend. The Wi-Fi doesn't work a darn.
Yeah.
For a darn. So I mean, we actually had to talk to each other, you know, with no interruptions, no kids going,
ah!
Yeah. Good weekend had by all. I enjoyed it. The media has a big scoop here. They got a big scoop. Trump, wait for it, was investigated as a potential Russian agent. Ooh. And so they took that and ran with it, right?
Yeah.
So I saw this and I went, oh, wow. Any new information? No.
No.
Did they launch the investigation based on any information? No. They just don't like him. Using publicly available commentary. Like, I don't know, we could have used it. Here's a reset button. Think that'd be publicly available commentary? Or no, here's this one. I got to get through this election right now, but I can cut a deal with Vladimir later.
Yeah.
When you don't realize the mic is still on. Like that.
Yeah.
Like those things. You would think maybe just publicly available conversation. Nope.
Or how about being an agent for a terrorist organization when you send them pallets of cash?
Yes. Yes. Pallets, which, by the way, are you know, potentially treasonous, because you're not allowed to give funding to a state sponsor, a state designated sponsor of terror like Iran. If you or I did it, in order to support them, we could go to prison. We should go to prison. But if you're in the United States of America, president of the United States of America, it's totally fine. You're right. Not just publicly available statements, you're right, Lee, but publicly available photos or descriptions of pallets of cash to a state sponsor of terror. That's not a big deal. But
apparently not.
Yeah, no. But if Trump, and by the way, but if Trump jokes that Russia ought to release the email, now that is a joke. I mean, you could tell it was a joke. He was joking.
That is one of the things that sticks in my craw more than anything. That just goes to prove that these people are absolutely bat guano crazy.
Yes.
Because there was absolutely no question that Donald Trump, when he made that comment, was making a joke. There is absolutely no question about it whatsoever. Now, you know, he may not be Stephen Colbert, he may not be Jimmy Kimmel, but the guy can tell a joke. And that was a good political joke. And there is absolutely no question. But yet, these people act like, and I'll put it this way, if they really think that wasn't a joke, then they need some serious mental help.
Well, if you watch the video of Trump making that joke.
Yeah, which I have.
Yeah, even the audience gets it.
I saw it go on live, and I said,
"Boy, did you laugh?"
Yes.
Yes, it was funny. The audience laughs. They get it too, and believe me, the FBI gets it too. They didn't want him to be president. It was fully political, and they used whatever thin straws of excuse they could get.
Yeah.
Here's what Newt Gingrich wrote about this, former Speaker of the House, that the whole thing, this article on the New York Times that they investigated Trump as a Russian agent, tells us how deeply sick the Washington establishment has become. A group of bureaucrats elected by no one sat in a room, decided they would investigate the new president of the United States for possible treason. Let me repeat, treason. This is, after all, the implication of this investigation. This group of bureaucrats reports to no one in elected authority. In a Justice Department where employees gave 97% of their presidential campaign contributions to Hillary Clinton, the hostility toward and fear of a newly elected President Trump was deep. And Newt Gingrich makes some great points here, saying, listen, I mean, if this was truly the case, I mean, we got a potential Russian agent. A Russian agent running for president, then surely somebody should have been briefed, right?
Yeah.
We should brief some. I mean, that is because, we're still under the illusion, at least, that the FBI and the DOJ report to, somebody. And they were saying, if these Justice Department anti-Trump fanatics, this is Newt Gingrich, were afraid to go to the White House, they could have briefed the leaders of the Judiciary and Intelligence Committees in the House and the Senate. At that point, they would have had some potential reality check. But they briefed no one. They kept it to themselves and just went off and kind of did whatever they wanted.
Well, there's only one reason this headline came out, and that's to continue the narrative.
Yep, continue the narrative.
That's all there is to it.
And listen, did the hysteria over the weekend, as they neglect to tell you that this investigation was based on zero evidence and was a pretty near complete violation of Trump's constitutional Fourth Amendment rights. Here's the hysterical media montage from over the weekend.
This bombshell New York Times report.
Our bombshell breaking news.
It is indeed a bombshell.
This is very explosive.
They are in deep damage control mode.
It's like out of a movie.
Has the president been turned, basically?
The tentacles are now leading to the top. Now it's the president of the United States of America.
Has the president been turned by the Russians, and is he a Russian agent? This is real news, folks.
How about a president who bowed to foreign leaders? How about a president who went around apologizing for America's, what he called, mistakes in past? How about a president that sends pallets of cash to a terrorist organization? Why was that never a bombshell? How about an administration that lied about why an American ambassador was killed and three other brave Americans trying to defend him also were killed too, and then lied about why it happened? Where's the bombshell in that?
Yeah, good. And how about a president who's caught on, again, hot mic saying, to Putin's representative, oh, well, I got to get elected first, but then I can deal. And then when he does get elected, there's the approval of, 20% of our uranium going to Russia. When he does get elected, Russian spies are found to be deeply embedded in our nuclear industry and stealing our secrets. And instead of, debriefing them, imprisoning them, turning them, we send them home and deny the FBI's request to interview them. How about that? That sure looks like payback to me. I mean, wow, that looks pretty suspicious there. Are we going to look into that or? Oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. I guess we're not interested in
nope.
any of that.
It's, not a bit.
Yeah. Being a Democrat, but you want to talk about liberal privilege. Again, the only actual privilege that exists in the country, not white, not black, not Hispanic. No, liberal Democrat privilege. You can commit any crime you want and the FBI will pretend you didn't. Okay, Nancy Pelosi doubling down. There is absolutely nothing going on at the border. You got to love how the media is simultaneously reporting two things. Nothing going on. We got there's no illegal immigrants trying to come in. Look, you saw the Jim Acosta video. He couldn't find any of them. on the other side of that wall. There's nothing going on. While at the same time reporting that a caravan of 15,000 people will begin walking. They've already massed in Guatemala. Will begin walking toward our border. Just a mere 15,000, plus whoever they pick up along the way. So somehow, if you're a leftist, you can embrace both things in your mind. Two realities. A 15,000 strong caravan walking this way, and what? There's nothing going on in the border. Nothing at all. Nothing's happening. What is amazing is that President Barack Obama said about the border crisis back in way, way long ago, 2014, when we had hit a record high of 16,000 youths dumped at the border. And you know how they end up there, a lot of them. Either their parents send them up so they can later use them as anchors, or the cartels buy them from their parents. And the adults use them. Because you got a kid, it's a get-out-of-jail-free card. They can only hold you for 20 days, according to the decree of a liberal judge. And so what happens is you need a kid. You don't have to actually keep the kid. You just have to show up with the kid. So they got to let them go after 20 days. They dump the kids. The ones they bought from the cartels. You just dump them on the border. Some as young as 4. And then they keep going. So where do the kids end up? Well, they end up dumped on the border. $700 a day on average. 24,000 were dumped in December. Higher than the record set under Barack Obama of 16,000. What did Obama call it again when that record was set in 2014? Again, what was that?
We now have an actual humanitarian crisis on the border that only underscores the need to drop the politics and fix our immigration system once and for all. In recent weeks, we've seen a surge of unaccompanied children arrive at the border.
Okay.
Brought here and to other countries by smugglers and traffickers.
Smugglers, traffickers.
The journey is unbelievably dangerous for these kids.
That sounds like a crisis.
The children who are fortunate enough to survive it will be taken care of while they go through the...
Okay, so but it's not... And so that was, again, when we hit the record high of 16,000 dumped. Again, in December, 24,000 were dumped. So is this Nancy Pelosi was asked, is this a national security crisis? And it was pointed out to her, listen to me, what would you say to the families of those killed by illegal immigrants? By the way, there are 4,000 of those. That's Customs and Border Patrol federal statistics for the year 2017 and 2018. ICE arrested or detained, or took into custody illegal immigrants who had committed, you ready for this? 4,000 homicides. This is in the year 2017 and 2018, 2 years. 4,000 homicides, 30,000 sex crimes, and get this, over 100,000 violent assaults. But here's the scary part. Just in 2018, the sole year of 2018, 17,000 individuals with criminal records, either here in the U.S. or from in their home countries, 17,000 were apprehended at the border. We only caught 2 in 5 out of 5 trying to cross the border. And there were 17,000 people with criminal records either here trying to re-enter or in their home countries or both. That's not a crisis. No, it's not. What would you say, Nancy, to the families of those who have died in drunk driving accidents, murders, things like this?
The president talks about this being a national security issue. No, it really isn't. It's about a policy that is discriminatory as to where people are coming into this country.
Okay, so there's no crisis. See, this is just discrimination based on where they're coming into the country. So what she's trying to say is, well, we don't like people from Mexico and Guatemala and Honduras because they're too brown. It's just a discrimination issue about where they're coming into the country. Well, here's the problem, Nancy. They're coming in illegally. Nobody has stopped them from legally coming into the country. Trump did shut the border down for a little while one day as the caravan approached, but that's it. Opened it right back up. You can't point to a single person who could legally come here from south of the border and say they were blocked, because they weren't. It's the people illegally coming here. So this is not a crisis. This is a discrimination issue against people based on where they're coming in. She leaves a word out of that. Where they're coming in illegally. But the Democrats no longer differentiate between U.S. citizens and non-U.S. citizens and people who've broken in here, who aren't U.S. citizens. There is no difference whatsoever. Oh, except the ones who are U.S. citizens, if they're middle class and up, do have to pay for everybody else. That's required by law. But other than, you know, in taxes. But other than that, there's no difference. It's just they're exactly the same, even. Doug in Anderson.
Hey, good morning, Tara. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I cannot believe this woman, what comes out of her mouth.
Well, the bad thing about it is, you know, and I've heard you talk about E-Verify and verification of immigration. The bad thing is, E-Verify is a failure in itself because all they have to do is create fraudulent documents. And as a retired law enforcement over 20 years in the upstate, I cannot tell you how many fraudulent immigration cards I've seen. I mean, they get them printed down at fairgrounds, jockey lots, wherever. All they need is one person's legal information, and they'll reproduce documents with that legal information. So when the employer runs it through E-Verify, it shows that they're legal.
But that's just not the case, Doug, and I hate to disagree with you, but it's just not the case. I mean, that's the system as we describe it now. If you have fake documents, you go get a job. No one has a way to check the documents. E-Verify actually does the opposite of what you're saying. And it provides a way to check. A lot of the fake documents out there are ITINs that people are using. And there'll be 15, 20, 25 people using the ITIN. E-Verify will catch that. Right now, there's nothing you could do. I mean, you got to accept the fake document. And this is why they have a hard time going after employers. Because we're using 1980s technology. We're using actual documents that are very easy to duplicate. Fake documents not going to get you past E-Verify. You got to be who you are. You have to present your information, and it's checked at the IRS and DHS level. So I don't know what you're talking about, but I would have to disagree with you on that. I think E-Verify is an excellent solution. What the system you're describing is the one we have now, and it doesn't work because they can use fake paper documents. E-Verify is digital. We check to make sure, oh, okay, that's ITIN number 123456. Yeah, there's 20 other people using that. And it creates a verifiable report. We can see if the employer checked or not. Whereas right now the employer's like, well, yeah, he handed me the document. I'm not a document expert, and they're not. So I would totally disagree with you. In fact, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, having conquered the condom challenge, you know, where you snort one up your nose and then you get it out the other side. And the cinnamon challenge. Young folks in this country had nothing to do with their free time. And so now we have the Bird Box challenge. You seen Bird Box? You couldn't. If you have Netflix, you can't help it. It is the first thing that pops up or close to it when you go on. It's Sandra Bullock and she's running around with a blindfold on. Somehow doesn't stop her from hooking up with a guy on the show. Yeah, or so I hear. I haven't watched it. And a good-looking one, too, although she doesn't know that because she's blindfolded. But, you know, hey, it's Hollywood. She looks fabulous in a blindfold, too. Anyway, she staggers around blindfolded. That's the whole idea of the movie, because if you look, whatever it is that you see, you want to commit suicide. That's the premise. Anyway, it's only got a 63% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I never watch anything below 80. Occasionally I'll watch a 77% or 78% or if it's compelling. But so I'm not going to watch it because it's a waste of my time. There's too much good TV right now. Good movies, good TV out there that's been, you know, put out that's 70% plus rating from the audience. So I can't be bothered with the junk. But anyway, the idea is you got to do everything blindfolded or you'll want to kill yourself. She's got to save the kids. She's running around and she's doing all these things. Well, now young people, having conquered the condom and cinnamon challenge, respectively, we've never seen anyone actually do the two together, but I'm sure somebody's tried it. They're now trying the Bird Box challenge. Take a listen. That's not gone well. A teenager in Utah attempted the Bird Box challenge while driving.
She proceeded to pull her beanie down over her eyes as she was driving down the road.
Can't imagine somebody purposefully doing something that makes them not see while driving.
And the stakes are so high anyway, but to try and do it in that condition, not being able to see anything, is just extremely dangerous. This is one.
Yeah. Wish they'd go back to snorting condoms. But anyway. All right. So, you know, every time we have a mass shooting, which is always tragic, and we hate when that happens, the left is out there to tell us, well, if it would only save these fill in the blank here number of lives, then, but, you know, we ought to go get the guns. We got to go do something. Doesn't matter what it costs. We have to throw out the Second Amendment. Got to do it. Because mass shootings, right? Do you know how many people in the United States, how many mass shooting deaths there have been in the U.S. since 1966? You got to hazard a guess. A tragic number, 1,135. Huh. How many homicides committed by illegal immigrants in the last 2 years? 4,000. 4,000? 4,000. Actually, it's probably more than that because some of them are multiple homicide cases, and it's actually 4,000 illegals taken into ICE custody after committing homicide. So some of them, as a listener pointed out last week, would have been double homicides. I mean, heck, we had one just a few weeks ago that was a multiple murder. It was back in, what was it, like December, the guy who went on the rampage and he killed one guy at a gas station so he could commit another crime. And the police would be at the gas station. He'd get away with it. He'd want to commit an armed robbery, and he did. Tried to kill one woman in a hotel parking lot because he didn't like the way she looked. And, you know, but they're legal immigrants. Who knows why they do what they do. So, I mean, you know, think about the way it is. And listen, we don't want mass shootings. Mass shootings are horrific. Over 90% of them take place in gun-free zones, yet we continue to create more gun-free zones. But, I mean, think about the hysteria after a mass shooting. 5 dead, 3 dead, 10 dead, 14 dead. By the left in the media, right? I mean, anything it takes. We got to take all the guns away from law-abiding gun owners just because. Because if it saves just one life... Again, mass shooting victims in the United States of America since 1966, 1,135, and they say that justifies taking the guns? Well, then we ought to be totally justified in putting up a wall, passing E-Verify, and doing the immigration fixes Trump wants because we've had 4,000 homicide deaths in just the last 2 years. Almost quadruple the number of gun deaths. Since 1966, yet that is not a crisis. Okay, well then, we got to say next time there's a mass shooting at you, it's just not enough. I mean, it just doesn't justify doing anything. But, of course, as you know, it's not the deaths that count. It's who did the killing that matters. So if there's a group that votes 80%+ Democrat and they did the killing, or who would vote that, you know, if they were amnestied, then that's like totally fine. You can't look at the death. You just got to look at the group doing it. I shoot that. But if it's done with guns and that serves the purpose, then the death is outrageous. If not, nobody cares. Nancy Pelosi actually said that over the weekend. She's asked, "What would you say to the family?" This is crazy. What would you say to the families of those who've been killed by illegal immigrants? Again, 4,000 illegal immigrants have been arrested on U.S. soil. By ICE or taken into custody by ICE or detained by ICE in the last 2 years for homicide.
The president talks about this being a national security issue. No, it really isn't. It's about a policy that is discriminatory as to where people are coming into this country.
Yeah, see, if illegal immigrants were coming from Canada, we'd be totally fine with it. It's the fact that they enter at this. No, it's the fact that they're illegal, Nancy. It gets worse. She's asked a follow-up question. But, you know, you can't deny, Nancy. I mean, it's day in and day out somebody killed by a illegal immigrant in this country. It's, you know, head-on collisions, drunk drivers killing, the parents of three. And it's, you know, it's Corporal Singh. It's on and on. I mean, you're not going to call this a crisis?
Those are tragic situations. There's a tragic situation at the border. Two little children died. But the plural of anecdote is not data.
The plural of anecdote is not data. Wow. Okay. Because, see, here's some data. Do you want some data? I got some data. In the past 2 years alone, this is from Fox News, criminal aliens have been responsible for approximately, this is Customs and Border Patrol, 235,000 violations of the law that we know of, including 4,000 homicides, 30,000 sex crimes, 100,000 violent assaults, and in just 2018 alone, 17,000 individuals with criminal records were apprehended at the border. That is an invading criminal army right there. But listen to her use of the word anecdote. Oh, that thing. Yeah, where Corporal Singh was killed. That's just an anecdote. An anecdote. What's the definition of anecdote? All right, well, I'm online. Here we go. Merriam-Webster. An account regarded as unreliable or hearsay. In other words, it might have happened. Or it might not have. Just hearsay. You heard it on Fox News. It's hearsay. I don't know. Corporal Singh seemed pretty dead to me. God bless him. Like, I don't think that was an anecdote. I don't think that was an unreliable account. I don't think that was hearsay. I don't believe it. Here's Ron Elsing talking about what it's like to have to pick up your brother's ashes.
And the brother of Saline police officer Runil Singh sitting shoulder to shoulder with the president at the border.
Yeah, this was something. Reggie Singh sharing his brother's story of immigrating legally from the island nation of Fiji before being killed by a suspected illegal immigrant.
At 33 years old, Runil Singh was cremated, and I had to pick up his remains. It breaks my heart, and no one should ever, ever go through that.
Yeah, it's probably just an anecdote, though. Probably didn't really happen. Right, Nancy? Well, the good news here is that the left no longer wants to take your guns, or shouldn't. Because we don't have a mass shooting crisis in the United States of America. We don't have that. No, because there have only been 1,135 people who've died in mass shootings since 1966. ICE has arrested or otherwise detained 4,000 illegal immigrants for homicide in the last 2 years alone. A staggering side-by-side comparison of stats. Any leftist worth their salt would tell you the first one is a tragedy. We've got to do something. I mean, 1,135 lives lost in mass shootings since 1966. That is a tragedy. We have to take the guns. Oh, okay. So is that a crisis? Oh, yes. We'll have to take the guns. All right. Well, then we got a crisis on the border by that measure. Homicide arrest of illegal immigrants by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol officials. That'd be ICE. In the last 2 years, 4,000. Far outpacing mass shooting deaths. Yet they tell us every time there's a mass shooting that they need to take our guns. Well, then by that logic, we definitely need to fix our border. But again, it's not that people die that's the problem. It's who does the killing. And if the right people are doing the killing and they vote at a rate for Democrats of 80% plus, well, then we don't have a crisis here. It was probably the victim's fault anyway. Should have gotten out of the way. Shouldn't have been on the road with an illegal immigrant truck driver. It is amazing. It is amazing the hypocrisy here. And it totally spun out Dawn Witherspoon. Dawn Witherspoon lives in Jupiter, Florida, a sanctuary city. She used to live there with her husband. She doesn't anymore because he's dead. He was a heroic first responder, an EMT, who worked an unusually long shift, worked overtime. That was unfortunate because he was out late in the ambulance when the illegal immigrant, who was drunk at more than twice the legal immigrant, plowed into said ambulance, killing him and his coworker. A death that, as we know, does not count because it's just an anecdote. As Nancy Pelosi says, it's just as we don't know if it was true. But Nancy, I mean, it was covered extensively by the local news. Well, it's an anecdote. That doesn't make that. Dawn Witherspoon, the wife, asked the angel wife, asked, you know, how do you feel about Nancy Pelosi saying that the loss of your husband is merely an anecdote, not really data, and it doesn't prove we have a crisis?
What do you think, what's your reaction of Nancy Pelosi's comments seeming to suggest that tragedies like yours are not enough to call the chaos at the border a crisis?
I'm disgusted by Nancy Pelosi. It is unbelievable that we have politicians in our country that do not care about our people. And she said it numerous times. She really doesn't care. It's not a crisis to her. It's not a problem. Well, Nancy Pelosi, we have thousands of Americans being killed every year by illegal immigrants. And if that's not a problem, I don't know what is.
No, it's not a problem. It's not a problem. I wonder what the left would do if an illegal immigrant killed somebody in a mass shooting. Wait, I'm sorry. No, wait. That happened in December. They didn't care. Yeah, that was a multiple murder. They didn't care. Yes, I guess that's okay. She was asked further about this. It's what happened to your husband. You may think he's dead, but that's just an anecdote. Check twice, says Nancy Pelosi. And even if he is dead, it's not enough data. It's not enough data to prove that we have a problem.
Well, families of victims killed by illegals pushing back after Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi appeared to say their stories are not enough to call the border a crisis.
I want to tell Nancy Pelosi, just because you don't want to acknowledge that we exist does not mean that you're telling the truth.
Yeah. No, it doesn't mean they're telling the truth. They're not telling the truth. It's absolutely maddening. All right, coming up on the show, it's not an anecdote. Your loved one was actually killed by an illegal immigrant, which happened at least 4,000 times in America over the last 2 years. So you call the Uniparty. You call your congressional representative because you want something done about this, because the guy who killed your loved one is about to be let out on bond, and you're afraid he'll disappear forever over the border. So you call the Uniparty. You call your congressional representative. Do they care? Can you even get a return phone call back? The answer to that question coming up next.